Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the ERF Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded, and I'd like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, to Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon and welcome to the results presentation call for the Elanor Retail Property Fund. Thank you for attending and your interest in the fund. I have with me here today members of the executive team of Elanor Investors Group, including the fund manager, Michael Balliber, who I'll hand the call over to shortly to take us through the presentation. By way of introduction, and some context, over the course of the last half, like most investors, there's been challenging market conditions to face. I'm delighted to say that the management of the assets, particularly over the last half where those challenging conditions have prevailed, has been very, very strong. Michael and his team have done a very good job in managing the assets, particularly in regard to rent collections, which is now a key metric in the retail sector. But also, Michael and Matt have done a very good job in executing on the value add opportunities at the portfolio's value add assets. So whilst we continue to manage the business and manage the fund through a lens where we foresee or plan for difficult conditions to continue, we are very positive about the progress that have been made both at the income funds and the value add assets. So against that background, I'll hand over to Michael to take us through the presentation.
Thanks, Glenn. As Glenn mentioned, it's obviously been a challenging time for all real estate investors, including retail real estate investors, but we're pleased to report that our assets have continued to perform resiliently through the last 6 months, but particularly the last quarter of the half, reflected by the fact that we've been able to restore the operating occupancy of the assets relatively quickly, and been able to achieve very strong rental collections during the period. Turn you to page 5 of the presentation, where we highlight that we've collected up until 31st of July 78% of the billings that over the June quarter, which was the most significantly impacted period, and we're forecasting to achieve an overall collection rate over time for that period of 82%. The balance of that has been fully allowed for in our financials as not collectible, but we'll seek to continue to work with our retailers to improve that position. But suffice to say that we've sought to ensure that the ongoing impact is quarantined to the current financial year as best we can. And I guess that just goes back to our investment philosophy, which is a risk-first investment philosophy, where we invest in non-discretionary focused, defensive-type retail assets, which are anchored by strong performing supermarkets with a strong non-discretionary specialty mix focus. And it's, again, in that risk-first approach where we ensure that we can continue to sustain strong performance throughout challenging periods and difficult and through cycles as well. So with our income assets, I guess proving the resilience of those assets whilst we continue to reposition our value-add assets increasingly away from assets that have some discretionary component, increasingly towards non-discretionary focused supermarket-based assets. Pleased to say that we've been able to progress the execution of our two value-add asset repositionings with our highly capable team. We've progressed the Auburn Central repositioning and made very, very good progress on our plans for repositioning the Tweed Mall asset as well. Just taking you back to page five, the valuations for the period have been impacted largely as a result of the valuations of our sub-regional assets, where the cap rates have gone out by approximately 50 basis points, impacting mainly Tweed Mall and Manning Mall, but particularly Tweed Mall. You may recall that we have an impending expiry of the Target discount department store in that asset in September of this year, and we look forward to using that as a catalyst for the repositioning of the asset. Having said that, the valuation does reflect some downtime and some the capital cost in addition to the increase in the cap rate of that asset impacting its valuation, and we can talk about that a little bit further. But overall, the neighbourhood assets in the portfolio have maintained their cap rate at 6.75, and if you exclude Auburn Central out of that, which is now classified as a neighbourhood asset now that we've surrendered the Big W lease, the weighted average cap rate of the income assets is 7.75%. Just taking you to page six, what we've sought to demonstrate here is that in line with, I guess, our collection rate, what we see is more risky retailers in terms of there being more discretionary categories and ones that had government-imposed mandatory closures or reduced trading capacity representing about 23% of the portfolio, therefore, in our view, 77% of the portfolio have continued to operate effectively unaffected during the COVID period. And as a result, our collection rate, which I'll take you to page seven, is generally in line with that, I guess, risk assessment, where we've been able to collect up until the 31st of July 78% of the billings for the quarter, and we expect that to increase to 82% with some strong improvement, particularly from Auburn Central, where we're using a slightly different program and in the way we assess the code of conduct, and also expecting to achieve some improvement at Tweed Mall as well, getting us to an overall collection rate of 82% of the June quarter billings, which I guess reflects the strength and sustainability and I guess the non-discretionary positioning of the defensive tenancy mixes that we have in the assets. Interestingly, the smaller the assets, the better the collection rate is a trend that we're seeing. Probably the exception there is Glenorchy. The smaller the asset, the more convenient they are, less reliant on discretionary spend. So that's just auguring that. And as we reposition Auburn and Tweed, we expect that to improve increasingly as well. Just reiterating that we have fully provided for the anticipated non-collection of rent in excess of the 82% collection rate. And that represents about 80% of, I guess, uncollected at the end of July. Let's turn into page nine of the presentation pack. We'll provide a little more detail further on, but we're very pleased with the progress of our transformation of Auburn Central into a triple supermarket neighbourhood shopping centre in the Sydney metropolitan area. That was followed by the surrender of the lease to Big W in February of this year. We commenced construction in March, immediately after their defit, and have secured agreements for leases to two large supermarkets, which really anchor the precinct in Aldi in 1,755 square metres on a new 15-year lease, and Tongli Asian Supermarket. Despite the challenging market conditions, we're pleased to report that we've continued to see strong demand over the period, and we look forward to completing the project in November of this year, and on target to achieve the positive rental reversion that we have originally forecast, and a positive return on investment, additional investment from that's required by the project. Tweed Mall, we completed the first stage of its repositioning in August of this financial year, and that's proven very successful, with the February sales and foot traffic up 20.7% and 18.2% prior to the impact of COVID, and certainly better than expected, with obviously and some impact as a result of border closure at that asset since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The progress on the repositioning of the further repositioning of the asset, increasingly towards a non-discretionary offer, continues. As I mentioned earlier, the impending expiry of the target lease in September of this year provides us with the opportunity and a catalyst for remixing, continuing to reposition and remix the asset, where we are seeking to increasingly introduce additional non-discretionary supermarket offerings into the mall. One of the weaknesses of the centre, you might recall, is that the two major supermarkets trade externally. And in addition to introducing Aldi to the mall, we'll be looking to introduce a further full-line supermarket into the mall, which will continue to further increase the footfall and the sales productivity within the mall. And as a result of that, unlock some mixed-use redevelopment potential at the site, in line with the down planning regime and council's wishes, and also I guess our desire to see this develop over the medium term into a very significant mixed use precinct, benefiting from an attractive coastal location near an airport which is doubling capacity. Our in-house view is that, you know, people will seek to increasingly work away from the office and away from necessarily the capital cities in more lifestyle locations, and I think that augurs well for us in our long-term vision for the project. We've progressed discussions as well, and continuing to secure commitments for the first stage of a commercial office precinct as part of our repositioning of the asset. I'll take you to slide 10 now. It just gives a high-level view on a bit of a reminder of the Auburn Central repositioning project, where we took back 7,150 square metres of lettable area from Big W, generating approximately $14 million. This repositioning, we expect that sales coming out of this newly positioned asset, just from the Big W, the former Big W space, increasing from $14 million to something in the order of $65 to $70 million in sales performance, auguring well for the entire asset, and obviously assisting in achieving that incremental income of $2 million over the cost of $20 million, generating a 10% yield on cost. As I reiterated before, we're increasingly confident that's obviously very achievable. On page 11, there's some images as to the Big W space and some of the other improvements that we'll be seeking to implement as part of that. But pleasingly, despite challenging market conditions, we continue to see strong interest in the centre and have now secured agreements for lease with Aldi, Tong Li and Zap Variety, and have agreements, heads of agreement with a number of additional retailers representing 78% of the project's income and 79% of the area, the lettable area, all secured by a new 15-year lease to Aldi. Just in terms of key milestones, when we do projects like this, Travelators have now been installed. That's a key milestone. There's always a lead time for getting that type of equipment in place. So pleased to report that's now in place to provide vertical transport from the basement car park. And we'll be handing over to Aldi and Tong Li on Monday, 24th of August. That's normally they need a 3-month lead time to complete their fit out work. So essentially on track to complete those works come the end of November for an opening. In addition, we sold an adjacent property that we purchased at the beginning of 2019, an ambulance station, a heritage listed ambulance station, which provided some operational and strategic project initiatives that allows us to facilitate loading from both sides of the tenancy. We've since sold that asset. We bought it on the basis that we could either buy it or release it or sell it. It's been sold to a pub operator who's going to refurbish it, the heritage building into a new pub, and pleased to have achieved a very good outcome for investors of a $1.5 million profit. We hadn't invested any capital into the asset, so that's a nice outcome for investors, in addition to, I guess, the operational benefits that came with that strategic acquisition. That will also increasingly activate the precinct as well. Tweed Mall, Aldi, as I mentioned earlier, the Aldi opened in August of 2019. Seeing the strong increase in foot traffic and sales in the centre. Unfortunately, we hadn't quite seen the benefit of that coming through in rentals. Typically, it takes about 12 to 18 months to start seeing the benefits coming through in positive rental increases. And obviously, the COVID impact and I guess heightened by the Queensland, New South Wales border closures, unfortunately, will delay the benefit of these benefits coming through, but it has allowed us to continue to progress the repositioning of the target tenancy. On page 14, just some presenting some of our vision in terms of the first stage of the repositioning, which is to take one of the former supermarket boxes and create a first stage of a commercial precinct off the back of a Commonwealth Government requirement for 4,000 square metre use, which we submitted and had very favourable feedback on. That process has been disrupted also by COVID, in the meantime we're continuing to progress relocation of the supermarket and our statutory approvals while we seek to unlock the lease commitment for that and additional Commonwealth Government and state government agencies. We've engaged with those both federal and state governments. On the basis that they will be looking to seek to drive employment initiatives and economic stimulus in a market like Tweed, post-COVID, again, particularly post the border closure, and so we're seeking to use that as an opportunity to, progress this opportunity, and look forward to making some announcements once those opportunities progress. Just on the portfolio itself, I'll just turn you to page 16. The only highlight there is that we've got no Victorian exposure, which, apologies for anyone in Victoria listening, but our portfolio is very much focused in New South Wales and Queensland, and with a small asset in Tasmania. The DDS component of our tenancy mix, our objective there, in addition to other discretionary categories, is to continue to reposition our assets away from that type of use, as we're successfully doing at Auburn Central, and we'll be doing so at Tweed Mall, and increasingly so across other assets as well. On page 17, just summarising the portfolio movements, as I mentioned earlier, the valuation of Tweed Mall has negatively impacted the overall portfolio, but for that we would have seen a 0.8% increase in the valuation of the portfolio, and again, combination of a increasing cap rate for Tweed Mall of 50 basis points, just reflecting, the sentiment around sub-regional shopping centres, but particularly as a result of announcements by Target in terms of their future. That's also impacted the valuation of Manning Mall. Valuers are applying quite conservative rental assumptions on re-leasing and downtime assumptions, and also capital required for repositioning of those assets, without necessarily taking into account our view where the underlying real estate value, particularly for Tweed, is not reflected in the valuation. But we expect that will be reflected once we've been able to de-risk those projects, particularly once we've secured the relocation of one of the major supermarkets and secured lease commitments for the commercial precinct. Just turning to page 18 and lease expiry profile. The FY21 expiries there for the majors reflects the Tweed Mall target in the main, as well as a small 700 square metre country target in Moorambah, which we'll have, they've announced the closure of that as well, and we've got a heads of terms with a discounter to replace that use at Moorambah, again reflecting the strong performance of that asset and the sustainability of that type of asset. The short WALE from our point of view when we look at assets like this, particularly the value add type assets, actually provide us optionality and provide us opportunities to improve the assets, particularly when it's in relation to discount department stores. So we are cognizant of those expiries, but also ensure that wherever we have a short-term expiry, that we have an alternative strategy for that, particularly in regards to any DDS exposure. Just turning to page 19 now. The sales campaign for the divestment program for the income assets has been delayed due to COVID-19. Additionally, a number of factors that have played into our progress there is the target announcement in May 2020 in terms of its store closures impacted how people were viewing the Manning Mall asset, as well as the border closure for both Queensland and Tasmania impacted the ability for people to go and inspect some of the other two assets that were marketed for sale. But having said that, the COVID period has allowed, I guess, the investment markets to recognise the defensive qualities of neighbourhood shopping centres, and particularly assets which have strong performing supermarkets. And our view is that that there'll be increasingly stronger market demand for assets such as our income assets going forward. And as a result, we look forward to continuing on with the divestment program at the appropriate time and achieving a positive outcome as a result. On that note, I'll hand over to Paul.
Thank you, Michael.
Financials.
Thank you, Michael. Referring you to page 21 of our investor pack, core earnings for the year of $11.1 million achieved by the fund. That comprises $7.1 million in the first half and $4 million in the second half. The second half, of course, adversely impacted by the $1.3 million impact of COVID-19 that Michael described before, where we've fully provided for the rent not collected in the fourth quarter of the year. Secondly, as a result of the repositioning project at Auburn, there was a downtime impact of $500,000, of course, not receiving any rent on the Big W space for the second half. The other item that's relevant in terms of a half-on-half comparison is that the surrender fee in respect of the Big W lease was recorded in the first half of the current financial year. Turning to the balance sheet, net assets of the fund at 30th of June of $172.7 million, which reflects a net tangible asset per security of $1.34. Interest-bearing debt, currently a gearing of 43.7%, which is above the targeted range of the group in respect of gearing, and that reflects two things: the current repositioning of the value add assets, particularly Auburn, where the full cost of the project is covered by commitments from our financiers. And secondly, the delay to the divestments of our income assets. In respect of the debt, on page 23, just point out that the fund's average term to maturity is 2.3 years. There are no expiries in respect of FY21. The average cost of debt has been reduced by almost 100 basis points during the year, as a result of a refinance of a tranche of the debt that was achieved earlier on in the second half. Would also just note that the sale of the Auburn ambulance station that Michael referred to generates $4 million of cash post the end of the year, and a portion of that will be debt reduction. I'll now hand back to Glenn for some closing remarks.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks, Michael. Again, if we turn to page 25, we talk about our strategy and outlook here, and we firmly believe that the trust is in a very good position to enhance value for security holders. We accept that it's a trust of modest scale at present. We also accept that the value is not reflected in the current marketplace. Three things that we need to do: we need to continue on asset managing these the retail assets in the very capable way that the team has done, particularly over the COVID period, and make sure the performance of those assets continues to be front of field, which the assets are by any comp. Secondly, we need to continue to execute on the value add strategies for and the repositioning strategy for the value-add asset. And in that regard, Michael and Matt have done a fantastic job in Auburn Central, and the progress is good in regard to Tweed. And we're confident that the Tweed asset will see significant value improvements as the team plies their craft there. Thirdly, we need to achieve the objectives of our divestment strategy with regard to the income assets. And as Michael said, clearly the market conditions weren't appropriate to continue that program over the last 6 months. But having said that, we expect that market demand for assets particularly neighbourhood assets that have very strong performing supermarkets, we expect the market demand for those assets to improve given their performance over what has been a very, very difficult period. And in that mix, Auburn Central is now a neighbourhood asset, triple supermarket anchored neighbourhood asset, and we think the value for that asset will be well understood as we near completion in November. All that to say, we're determined to realise the value of these assets, these income assets, as we've stated, and continue to embark on the key objective of the fund to generate very, very strong returns in value add retail, of which we are a major participant in regard to that strategy within the broader retail asset sector, which is not a big boast because, quite frankly, there aren't too many people that have the focus and two, the capability to do the value add retail repositionings that we do. So in that regard, we remain positive and determined to, grow the value for security holders by executing on those strategies. Against that background, we look forward to taking any questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, it is star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, it is star 1. Our first question comes from Edward Day from Maldives, Australia. Please ask your question, Edward.
Hi, guys. Just a quick one. Just on the divestment strategy, can you just be a little bit more specific as to sort of how you're going to progress that strategy? Are you going to go back to a formal marketing campaign relatively soon, or is there another strategy that you're working through?
We don't want to be specific, Ed, because it would depend on the asset and the timeliness, or the time in which we want to divest the respective assets in the marketplace. As I said before, we expect to see and are seeing signs of increased interest in neighbourhood retail assets. So whether we, on an asset-by-asset basis, there'll be a separate strategy, and we may take some form to market, and we may handle the divestment of other assets differently, but we don't want to get specific around what our divestment strategies are for the assets. Suffice to say that we're determined to realise the value of the assets as we've stated before, and we believe we'll do so in the foreseeable future.
Okay, and then just secondly, Michael, I think it was the Target in Moranbah got called out as one where they're vacating. Apologies if I missed a comment on the call, but could you just perhaps give an update as to how you are addressing that?
Yeah, we've got a heads of terms with a discounter to take the entire space at approximately $35,000 above the passing income. So it's going to be a good outcome.
Great. Thank you. That's all.
Once again, it is star 1. Our next question is from Al Patterson from Ellison Capital. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi guys, it's Al Patterson here. Just on slide 21, there's a bullet point in relation to the accrued performance fee. Can you just provide some colour around that and also the hurdle as well?
Yes, Al, the performance fee is as per the arrangement set in place at the time of the IPO and documented in the PDS, and it reflects a maximum fee in any period to take total fees paid to the manager to 100 basis points, and it reflects a hurdle over and above the return to security holders measured with regard to both distributions and increase in net asset value per security.
Okay, all good. Cheers.
Once again, it is star one. The next question is from Gerard O'Hott from Holt Asia. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The first is regarding the five income assets. So, is it possible to have an idea in terms of footfall and tenant sales for the last month, and how does it compare with the pre-COVID-19 levels?
Sorry, Jared, could you repeat the question? We're having trouble hearing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was asking a question about the traffic footfall for the five income assets. And how does it compare with the pre-COVID situation?
Sure.
And same question for the tenant sales. Thank you.
We don't have counters for footfall counters for each asset in the income category, but I can tell you that the income assets performed very, very well during the last quarter. Supermarket sales were up 6.1% for the quarter and a 5.8% MAT. Our discount department stores performed very well, particularly our Big W at Glenorchy. Our blended performance for discount department stores was up by 21.1% for the quarter and 7.7% for the MAT to June. And before then, the income assets were performing. DDS was up 6%, and supermarkets were up around 7%. So across the board, have continued to perform. Were performing well to March, and have continued to perform well post COVID.
Great. Thanks for the details. My second question is regarding the balance sheet and the gearing. So currently the gearing is above 40%. There will be some disposals, but could you share with us what would be a target for gearing after disposals?
Yes, thanks, Jared. Our target gearing range for the fund is between 30% and 40%. And we would be looking to move the gearing ratio back within that range in the shorter term.
All right. Okay, thank you. That's all for me. Thank you.
Once again, it is star one if you wish to ask a question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, it is star one. There are no more further questions at this time. I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for closing remarks. Please continue.
Thank you again for attending this results call for Elanor Retail Property Fund and for your interest in the fund. I'll take this opportunity, if I may, to thank the Michael Balliver and Matt Healy and their teams for the works that they've done in managing the assets through this challenging period, but not just managing the assets, but the achieving the performance, the operating performance of the assets within the portfolio, and executing on the value add initiatives and repositioning initiatives for the value add assets. So thank you to the broader team, and we look forward to
keeping you updated in regard to progress, one, on those repositioning initiatives, and in regard to our divestment strategy over the foreseeable future. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. Thank you for all participating. You may all disconnect. Goodbye.